WABC. It's the Larry Kudlow Show. Free market prosperity starts here. Now, here's Larry Kudlow.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. So we had a big jobs report yesterday for the month of December. Non-farm payroll is up 216,000. However, the small business household survey, from which the unemployment rate is derived, that thing fell 683,000. But the unemployment rate stayed at 3.7 as 676,000 people left the labor force. Go figure. Very odd report. And private sector hiring looked pretty weak. So we're going to bring in our great friend John Carney, economics editor of Breitbart News, co-author of the Breitbart Business Digest. John Carney, welcome back. I'm looking at your very good report. You covered the waterfront. Jobs were weaker than they looked.
That's right. We had a lot, and this has been something you and I have talked about before. There's been a lot of government hiring and then what I would call government-adjacent hiring, social services, education, healthcare, not sort of cyclical, expansive parts of the economy at all. And so what you're seeing is the cyclical, expansive parts of the economy are indeed slowing down in their hiring. If you look through it, there was a lot of weakness, actually some surprising things that are so weak that I'm not sure I buy the numbers. There was in the transportation and warehouse parts, so this is like guys delivering stuff to your home. I don't know about you. I saw a lot of trucks out on the road delivering things in December. So the idea that that lost jobs didn't seem to make sense to me. That could be a seasonal adjustment issue also, you know, meaning lots of people were hired in it, but they seasonally adjusted so much that it looks like a loss. In general, as our friend Joe Livornia has pointed out, there's a problem with these numbers. We've been seeing some very big revisions. And we saw that this month, very big revisions to the past 2 months. The response rates from the businesses and households that respond to these things are very low. They were already falling before the pandemic, and they sort of fell off a cliff after the pandemic, which means there's a lot more estimation going into these numbers, especially in the initial reports. So that's a problem also.
You know, people don't understand that, John, just as an aside. The surveys that the Bureau of Labor Statistics take of human resource departments for large corporations and families, you know, small business owners, those are small surveys, you know, 60, 80, 100,000. I think the non-farm, I think the corporate survey is about 150,000. There's 160 million Americans that work.
Right.
And the rest of it's all done by econometric modeling. I mean, that's why the revisions are so substantial later on. I mean, these are like very broad estimates of the picture, and you should live or die with them.
And particularly when you've seen a lot of kind of wild fluctuations, as we have in the post-pandemic period, the models don't work as well. And so you're still thinking, oh, well, you know, how would an economy be operating normally? But we have some parts of the economy that literally just in the past few months just got back to their pre-pandemic levels. So we saw a lot of hiring in leisure and hospitality. But that was a lot of that was just sort of rebuilding to where we had been. So this probably is throwing off a lot of the estimates, which is one of the reasons you have to revise it so much, but then also the response rates coming from businesses. Businesses aren't answering the surveys from the Department of Labor as much as they did before. And that also means that lowers the quality of the survey, just like any poll, right? If you take an opinion poll and you get thousands of responses, you're going to have a better opinion poll than if you get hundreds of responses. And that's what we're seeing here. These are basically opinion polls, you know, not quite opinion polls, but something close to that about how the labor market is doing.
So I noticed whatever manufacturing hasn't produced any new jobs in a year, basically. And yeah, the ISM manufacturing report has been down, I don't know, whatever, 14, 15, 16 straight months. But you notice, again, going to Joe Lavorgna, who's a very smart fellow, the ISM services report was shockingly weak.
That's right. That's we all knew that manufacturing has been more or less in a recession for most of the year. The services sector was the one that's supposed to be coming back. If you look at services ex government, what you end up with is a very weak December number. And that is troubling because that is the part of the economy that should be less responsive to higher interest rates. And because people don't borrow to get services done as much, and also didn't have the boom that manufacturing did when we first came out of the pandemic. So we thought that that would keep expanding. It has slowed down a lot, so that is also troubling.
So core private job growth, only 41,000 on the three-month moving average. Temp hiring also soft. By the way, more people working multiple jobs, John. That's another one. Something like 8.5 million, which is a new record. What does this mean for Federal Reserve policy, do you think?
Well, so I think it actually can it's very complex. So it means that hiring was weaker than expected. But one of the problems is that all of the government hiring doesn't really add to the production of goods and services. So we're not increasing supply of priced goods in the economy when we do a lot of government hiring. But we are increasing demand because all those government workers still have to buy groceries and get haircuts and, you know, and buy lawnmowers and snowblowers. So the all of the demand keeps increasing when you increase government share of hiring, but supply does not. So I think actually the Fed should look at this and say, all right, this is a problem. This is actually a – even though hiring is weaker than it appears, it's a very inflationary report. Because the parts of hiring that are strong don't actually add goods and services to the economy.
Well, I liked your point. You know, the government workforce, which has been the leading job creator in the last year or more, they may not produce anything, but they spend a lot.
That's right.
Right? I mean, it's just so they're adding to demand. They're not adding to supply. So the Fed's got to keep an eye on that.
That's right. The Fed should keep an eye on that. And the other thing is that they're less likely to pull back in because of fear of a economic downturn because there is nothing as safe as a government job. And so they keep spending even when, you know, those of us in the private sector would normally say, oh, I see trouble ahead. I better start saving a little more money. They don't have to protectively save the way the private sector does.
So the net is you think the Fed will start cutting in, well, let's see, there's a January meeting, is there not? They're not going to cut in January.
That would be insane if they cut in January. Right. I don't think they will.
And the next meeting after that is March?
The next meeting is March, mid-March. And the market right now thinks there's a 70% chance that they're going to cut. I think that's way too generous. We only have two more jobs reports. This one, the headline was strong, and as I was saying, if you dig deep into it, it's not great news about the economy, but it's worse news about inflation. So I think the Fed will probably wait until this summer, and they're not going to, you know, like just cutting in March just seems, especially when there's no, you know, the economy is still expanding. We just, there's no need to cut, right? There's not a pressing crash happening that they would have to cut. Unemployment is 3.7%. Why would you need to cut? I think it's an option to cut, and I think they're not going to take that option until May or June or July, sometime down the road.
Unless you want to juice the economy for Biden, which is what Donald Trump told you and Alex Marlowe.
That's right. It looks very political if they start cutting early. And even worse, this is a point I made in Breitbart Business Digest. Even worse, if they start cutting now and inflation kicks up, then they will be in the position of having cut during the election year And, you know, I think Donald Trump will be elected president in November. And then having to raise right after Donald Trump comes into office will make them look so partisan and so political that I actually think it will be a threat to the structure of the Fed right now if they were to do that.
By the way, the segment with you and Alex Marlow, it just worked so beautifully. And we can't thank you enough. Folks, for talking to John Carney, Breitbart news editor and co-author of the Breitbart Business Digest. Thank you, John. See you this week. Folks, we're going to take a break. Other side, we've got Legal Beagle Greg Jarrett, Fox News legal analyst. The Supreme Court is going to take a look at the Colorado decision to disqualify Donald Trump from the ballot. I know, Joe Biden is the defender of democracy. We'll see what Greg has to say about it. I'm Kudlow. Straight ahead. We'll be right back.
This is the Larry Kudlow Show on 77 WABC.